Greetings. Welcome. How's everybody doing? Welcome to Postmasters Basic. Can you hear me? Can I get a thumbs up if you can hear? Do we have audio? We good? Great. This is Colin Rachel hyphen Dara Colin Prince on Friday Night Live. Woohoo! Telegram channel, Postmasters Basic, to help you guys out there with your journey navigating into the Postmasters world. Doing the best I can to be a steward for that purpose, that function, because I feel like we all kind of found our way here somehow. Some of us kind of scraping our, you know, through the mud, crawling, scratching, clawing. However, we needed to get to Chief and figure out if this is a path for us. And some of us have actually followed through and taken this step into getting their claim of the life. And others are still on the fence, or others are just tuning in. So welcome either way. There are both claimants on this call and both citizens of this planet. And we're all here together figuring it out. So hopefully we can bring some closure to this venue. I just want to give a shout out to the Chief, Colin Russell hyphen J Colin Gould. If you did not listen to a couple podcasts ago, he was on Tuning In For Me a couple Fridays ago. So you can go ahead and listen to all the archived episodes back in time space. Those are available through the portal, the Postmasters portal on Spotify, iHeartRadio, as well as Podbean. You can just do a search for the Postmasters portal, and hopefully it'll come up. And if not, I do post the link in the Telegram channel, so you can listen to all of those after the show. And so, as you guys may have seen the broadcast for the messaging for this night, has a meme with it, and meme says is a picture of a sword, kind of like Excalibur. It's in rocks. I love this meme. Thanks to Street Team Postmaster, who does a lot of these for us. Very much gratitude for her. And this one says, for the men of the sword, and then this S is bracketed, so it becomes for the men of the word instead of sword. But it's kind of a nice quantum pun, if you will, because it oftentimes feels like we're fighting for our words. And it's all come down to this. We have been fighting for the last word, the correct word. And ultimately, I wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight. I wanted to talk about ultimately which is it? Are you guys on the same page with this? Is this what it has come down to for you? Are you a man or woman of your word? How do we change the condition of someone's heart? How do we change the condition or the volition of thinking for someone? Because we talked a little bit about this. We talked a little bit about it because we were saying that one of the citizens or one of the listeners came on and said, hey, I have these problems with such and such people, and I don't know kind of how to approach it, how to handle it. And what do you think we should do? And, I brought up the fact that, like, maybe just go back to the drawing board a little bit and think it through a little bit more, because when I think through what I'm going to do with people who I feel may not be integrous or Tigris or have integrity. Meritocracy, like based on merit. If they're not functioning with meritocracy, if they're not functioning within your paradigm, or in this case, within my comprehension of what is meriting my focus or my attention or my time or my space, then, you know, I have to question whether or not I want them in my world if they're not following through. And I think there comes a time for all of us when we have to comprehend, look, is this something where I'm going to make a big fuss about it? Am I going to have a conversation with them about it? Am I going to try to change the condition of their heart with the forensics that I do have? Because maybe the forensics aren't all that good. Maybe you don't have a lot of forensics, but maybe you have a feeling, or maybe you had something happened that created that to lead you to thinking that that person might not be as full of the integrity as you thought. And so, are people in your life stable enough for that conversation? Are people in your life, what if you know if they're not stable? Do you still have that conversation with them? So if you're just tuning in, I want to welcome you tonight, for the show is beginning. I'm very blessed to be here speaking with you guys, but I'm more so blessed because you guys are accompanying me. So thank you. Thank you for being here and showing your energy, because I feel that what I would like to do tonight is have your dialogue and your communication back to figure this out. We're talking tonight about being men and women of our word and what that means. What that means, because to me, that's accountable. That's accountability. And that's what the entire venue that Chief has set up for us is all about. Accountability. How do we create accountability? And I do think this will be a great call for Chief, a great question for him for one of his patron calls. If you're not on Patreon, you can get on Patreon by going to Patreon, patreon.com/ Russell J. Gould. No punctuation. That's two S's and two L's. Russell J. A. Y. Gould. G-O-U-L-D. And we can ask him that. We can ask him how he feels accountability is created. But I'm curious, but you know, oftentimes what I like to do is open up the can of worms and get our juices flowing for why we think something is as it is, and then go back and ask him once we've done our due diligence, because that's what he likes. He did all that work to create solutions for us, to create fair and just contracting, a system for contracting fairly on this planet, because everything is on contract ultimately. You know, you're not, like I said last time, you're not going to sue your friend maybe if they don't show up for lunch because they told you they would. But for everything else, we generally have contracts. And so if we're going to have contracts, we might as well be doing it justly and fairly. And yes, with facts, Brock. Factually. Why would we want to be writing lies? And knowing that we are participating in the continuance of writing lies on paper in fiction babble creates not only confusion for the masses, for the world, but it's dishonest. So now that we know better, don't we want to do better? And that is the venue that Chief he worked to set up for us to now bring forward to figure it out. Like, he can't do everything, but he's already done most of the legwork for us. It's just now that we have to figure out how to kind of bring this to light. And unfortunately, it's not an easy road, as you know, because first of all, the question is, do people want to be accountable? The second question is, you know, are they capable of being accountable? And a lot of people in the world right now are not accountable. If they were accountable, then don't you think if they were, I'm trying to bridge the gap between accountability and comprehending, or at least giving Chief a chance at what his performances were. And I think that part for me, it gets slippery, because it's like all these folks out here who are truthers and influencers who are believing that Trump is the way. I'm just like, don't you get it? It's all still in fiction. He doesn't have a flag. And then that tells me, well, that's a lack of education, but it was, what about the willingness to learn? The value of a flag and the value of communicating facts and the value of learning what a fact is and the value of being accountable. And so, see the conundrum? Because if somebody's not willing to comprehend those little pieces that we've all, I mean, most of us on this call have taken the time to actually go watch his Chief's documentaries, War Castles, Last Flag Standing, Piercing Dynasty, and we've taken the time to study and comprehend and do our own due diligence of the value of flag law, of the value of correctness, of the value of some of the things put forward in the quantum venue, which is clearly we're seeing it when they can't even define a woman, you know? It's like clearly there's problems with facts. Clearly the word games and the definitions are a problem. But why can't some of those truthers, why aren't they getting that? Why can't they recognize this? And that's the part where I'm like, well, does that take accountability? Is that what this is? It's because they don't want to be accountable? But I'm like, wait, is that what the problem is? That they don't, and then I'm kind of like, well, I don't know if that's the issue. Is that the issue, that they don't want to be accountable? Or is it they just don't like Chief? They just don't like Chief. I could see that one. Maybe they don't like him. And so they're just like, no, that's impossible, right? I have friends who say that. They're like, oh, no, that can't happen. So they're just going to disregard it. Well, I mean, you're just going to believe another friend who says that's impossible. I just, to me, and these are friends who actually do studies. Like one of my friends who, acquaintances, or I mean, a friend from elementary school, but like he was like telling me about, oh, flat earth and this and that. And he studied. And I'm thinking like all the due diligence that he did with that and all the years that it took him to comprehend that maybe the earth is not round. I'm not saying that the earth is round or flat. Okay. But I just don't know. I don't know what it is, but I do find it weird that we're like spinning with the same constellations and then we're like whirling through space. That part, I find that very difficult to believe. I guess they call it gravity, but I don't believe in gravity. So it's like, what? So like we're sucked in like a vacuum and we're swirling through space. And we're, as Billy Carson talks about, we're like a part of a solar system that is very small, merging with the Milky Way into another galaxy, something of the sort. I've listened to something, I haven't fully grasped what he was putting down, but it was something to that extent. Like, yeah, we are a system that's moving through space, and we're the whole system is a very small piece of another galaxy or what have you. I mean, to me, that's irrelevant. I don't even know what that means. I mean, maybe what it means is that we've drifted away from our home planets. We've drifted away from technology. We've drifted away from other paradigms and realities. And it kind of made us like, I don't know, dumber. Or it made us like forget, or like, I don't know, get dizzy. Space effects, you know, like where we just forgot. It's possible. I mean, those things are possible. You know, we got swirled away in space and sucked up into nothingness or what have you. Yeah, it's like that one show, that one movie. What's that movie called where they get dumber? Oh my God. I know you guys know it. Yeah, Idiocracy. Thank you. That's such a great movie. I love that movie. So that's kind of what it feels like right now. So we've got these people out there who are failing to want to do their own due diligence. I don't know, maybe because there's not enough of it, you know, because Chief is super, super suppressed, super, super, all like as much as we try to put out about him and get him to, you know, be on podcasts and things, it's really censored and shadow banned. And it's like they just, yeah, his haters do hide the facts. But why? What I'm saying, like, why don't they want to take the time to just do a little bit more research? Now, this is up to us, as the way I see it. It's up to us to get the word out about what he has done in many, many, many different ways, as many different ways as we can. And as you guys know, we do have outlets on Instagram. I believe it's at Russell J. Gold 1. We have TikTok. And I believe that one is Russell J. Gold, no punctuation. And that one's actually doing okay. I don't manage that myself, but I think that we have to get the word out as many different places as we can. We have on Twitter X, channel there. We have one on LinkedIn now. And I believe that I'm going to put it in the chat right now. You can see all the various ways that we are broadcasting the message as best we can, because this is not easy to broadcast out there. So it's Linktree. Let me just check that. Sorry, my nose is stuffy. I think I have like allergies or something, but just woke up kind of sniff, not like a cold or something, but just kind of sniffly, like kind of like I don't know if it's what's going on with this crazy weather, because there's like something, obviously, I don't know if you guys know, like Tahoe got pounded with snow. And it's like the Sierra Nevadas are just like pounded with snow here in the former US. And it's like trickling down south, and it's like huge thunderstorms, and it's just like kicking up all this stuff. And I wonder if, well, it's natural, first of all. I always got to question that. So if it, hopefully, even if it's not, you know, deuced by HARP or whatever, the fact is that hopefully after the rain, I pray that the ionization is like actually legit and it's helping, because we've been talking about how to ground. And this is just kind of a side note for our conversation on this evening, but like, it's important that we ground. If we're not grounded, how are we going to ground others, first of all? So when the skies break loose and bust open the rain, I mean, that ionization is key. That ozone, that's just very healthy, healing. And so we've got to figure out how we can do that, how we can ground, how we can stay in our center amidst the chaos as it is all around us, as the chaos is crouching up on us. And I mean, I'm watching some of the news out there, and it's like, it is doomsday. It is pretty negative. It's really hard to see past any of that. So why, if everybody loves that crap, why are they going to want solutions on the table? Like, so simple. Oh, so simple. You could just have a solution whereby you could start entire civilizations based off of these new concepts of the flag and of smart people coming in to help. And I mean, yes, we do have smart postmasters coming in and we are very grateful for them. But if you think about the thousands, maybe tens of thousands of scientists that are brilliant, who are selling themselves out to the government agencies, it breaks my heart that these folks are so smart and they're not clued in of how to help the world. Instead, they just take the money and work with the people who are funding the wars and whatnot, you know, weapons and things, technologies that actually do more harm. When these scientists are actually the people that can turn the world around. Like if they all banded together and they had the tech, if they had chief's tech and that safeguarding, as well as the doctors. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, yes, we need doctors, but the healers, the balancers, that is where it's at. We need the strong network of healers and balancers to come together, because the doctors and the lawyers are the ones that have taken the oaths. It's harder for them. They're not as flexible. They're not like some of us that get to move freely without restrictions, licenses, registrations, and things of that sort within the fiction. So, you know, yeah. So some obligations, contractual obligations, whereby they live a dualistic world. And I get that. We have them in our venue. They get it, but they have limitations as well. And so we need those that are not bound by contract, who are free, who do have brains, high IQs, low IQs too. You know, I think the IQ test was created by one of them as well, by the indoctrination program. But I'm just saying, let's bring in the intelligentsia here. Okay. I don't necessarily have an high IQ, but I've never been good at taking any tests. So does that mean I'm defunct at taking one of those IQ tests? You know, because my IQ works in mysterious ways. You know what I'm saying? I didn't create 3 documentaries and I don't do what I do because I don't got brains. It's just, I don't do it that way. Now, when we're talking like scientist level, we need those scientists to stop taking money from the government agencies, first and foremost. Second of all, they need to get a claim of the life and the doctors, and they need to start protecting themselves, safeguarding themselves. This is part of the accountability, but they've also then got to educate themselves, and we've got to help educate them. Without sounding like the idiots, right? Oh, you guys are just full of it. And that's part of the reason why I do these podcasts, because I want to say things so many times that we all as a collective within this venue have different ways and thought forms of articulating this venue. Because here's why. Because I want you guys to feel it in your bones and know it in your bones, not just hear what Chief says and try to articulate what he says, because it's very, that can be very difficult. So lest we start to really know it in our heart and soul. And as we know it in our heart and soul, we can preach it. We can say it. We can spray it. Yeah. So Josh says, I don't want to be just another brick in the wall. Never was a brick in the wall. But man, I don't know, you guys, when they try to make you conform into their systems, I was always the one quitting the job because, like, I never had a corporate job, but I always worked for nonprofits because I loved coordinating events and work with my community. And every time I was like, had this great idea and I want to do something, and they're like, that's great, but you're not going to get paid for that. And I was thinking to myself, like, wow, this is unbelievable. Like, why can't I do both? Why can't I be paid for what I'm really good at and do? And I had these CEOs that were accountable to boards, and I was like, why are they not wanting this to grow and make money? Nonprofits can make money for sure. We had membership programs. So I never got that. So I was like, well, then I guess I'm quitting. Because I was like, I can't be held back by these limitations. So I'll just do it myself. I'll just do whatever I'm going to do myself, because I can't have people keep saying no to me. And so for those of you, if you've got a jobby job, praise you, because I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. God bless you. You get up every day and you go to your job. And I was bad at that. There's no way I couldn't do it. And so I didn't. And I was part of that gig economy where I was doing everything but having a job, a jobby job. You know, I had all these gigs and I wanted to really create my own world, right? I wanted to create my own ideas, concepts, and get them out there. So by the time I saw war castles, you know, I had already crawled up out of the mud a couple times, lost my health several times. I've always had an upward battle with my health, crawled up out of the mud, food stamps, everything, just trying to make a dollar and a nickel. And I found my way back on my own. And it was what I needed to do because I had loving parents, but I couldn't do it from them anymore. I had to do it on my own. And so as I crawled up out of the mud again, and I said, I am, and I will do this again. And I don't care if my IQ tested low, you know, screw them. Like, they're not going to have me on my show because I can't remember his name, but there's a guy who you had to take an IQ test in order to be on his show. And I'm like, I don't do IQ. But anyway, they chose the other bros. And I was like, mistake, bro, because I have more charisma than any of those guys put together. But whatever. And so I just did my own thing. And you guys have heard my story. Some of you guys have heard my story before. But like I said, I was coming back into my health. I was on food stamps. I figured out how to borrow money, buy a house, and in Indiana. And when I got that house, I had no furniture. So I put furniture on a credit card and had the very, very bare minimum. And then I went, and because I was doing so much Airbnb stuff, and this is, by the way, after I had moved 6 states over, and I had racked up some Airbnb credit just from doing podcasts and stuff on Airbnb and how to design your Airbnb. And I stayed at other people's houses with my Airbnb credit while I rented out my house, my own bed. And just to get back on my feet. And then when I could do that and I could get off the food stamps and I finally got the equilibrium back, then I said to myself, I need one good client, like one like really bomb client who has like an amazing penthouse or something. And then just, you know, manage that. And it led to me managing over, I got that one guy, like almost instantly I manifested that right in. And within a year, I was managing like 30 properties. I mean, I was very busy. I made the front page of the Indianapolis Star or something. I don't remember what the name of it was, but anyway, I was also in real estate. So I was doing Airbnb investment. I made a rising star the first year in my real estate company as well. And I was like, wow, this is so different from other Rachel. And it all started because I was sitting a couple years prior at a real estate workshop and I was listening to people say, you know, what they were doing within real estate and how they're making money and this and that. And I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? Like, why am I not winning? Where is the winning? I am a winner. Like, I am a winning person. Why is my life not yet begun? And for many of us, for many of you, there is that same feeling of, when will I begin? When will I begin? Isn't there like a Disney movie? And it's possible. It's still happening for you guys. You know, you're not there yet. Some of you guys have started over. I know some of you guys have started over. Some of you guys have started over a million times. And some of you guys are still pedaling, you know, pedaling your ass because it's tough out there. I get it. I've spoken to many of you and I know all different sorts of situations that you guys are in. So I don't know that this venue will solve that for any of us. I really don't. All I know is that when I heard the truth and I watched War Castles and the whole series, when I watched that and I heard the truth, it didn't take any convincing for me. It didn't take any more convincing. It was so obvious what had happened, what was happening. You know, I felt like such a baby. I felt like such a baby, not knowing what was going on right before me and having tuned it out because I didn't want to hear it. But for those truthers who do want to hear it and talk about it every day, but won't hear it, they won't hear the truth. Now that's another story. Now there's something intrinsically wrong with that setup. I mean, I don't get it. That to me is a deep void. And it's not good enough anymore to just say, I don't get it. I don't get it. But we don't have that luxury anymore. We have to get it. This is not a fantasy. This is not a conspiracy. So people telling you to stay focused, stay present, stay in the moment. Yes, but with which moment are you going to tune in with? Because like I said earlier, you're still going to find those people in your own life who aren't countable, who have tainted Painted Past. And with that, how are you going to change the condition of their heart? How are you going to change the condition of their thinking? Is it up to you? If you knew that you didn't say anything and it, or you didn't think anything or you didn't wish anything for them, could they still win in the end? Can we as a collective concur that we can fix this just by our focus on it? And that we're all concurring on the same thing, that we all want the same thing, that we all want the people who don't want to take the time to comprehend and ask questions of what Chief did to at least start asking some questions, at least sound vaguely interested. I hope so, Enrique. I hope we here can concur. I hope so, because it doesn't seem like much. It doesn't seem like a lot to ask. And I don't know that having this is about communication. This whole venue is about communication. But how come I know people who didn't want to have the conversation with people? How come I'm the one that's having the conversation with them? Why am I doing that? Why didn't they warn me about so and so? Why didn't they say anything? Yeah, I have one friend who she didn't say anything about this other person. And then, you know, I got affected by that other person. And I'm like, but maybe if you would have just said something, and maybe not, maybe that's not the karma. But when I told her that and I said, look, if you had just kind of like put it in a different way, you didn't have to coerce me into thinking your way, but at least I would have put two and two together a lot sooner so that I didn't have to get hurt, you know, by something that this other person did. And now I'm the one going and thinking, okay, now do I have this conversation with them? Can I change the condition of their heart? Am I responsible for that? Is that me? Is that what this venue is about? Is it my duty to go and try to change someone's behavior or go to try to change someone, you know, who maybe took something from me? And I don't know. I'm not clear yet. I keep going back and forth and back and forth, but it always feels, I don't want to accuse them because I don't have forensics. I just have clues. Yeah. Am I being a victim? Am I being a victim? I don't want to be a victim. That's not what I want to do. And I don't think any of us need to do. So you're right. Yes, Brock says query is okay. So being curious, asking questions. This is what I'm asking. This is it. How do we hold people accountable? What's the process look like? And like I said, if you're joining in late, like this would be a great one that I think we should talk about with Chief on his patron call. I want to know, Chief, how do you think you hold people accountable? Because it could be a little bit different from us guys, because he could be judge and jury. You know what I mean? He's got some really bad guys to take care of. Whereas with us, you know, we're talking about our friends and people that we know and maybe family. Well, yes. And Tereko says there's also people out there who want to muddy the waters because there might be things, they might be jealous of you. They might they might want what you have. They might, and that's, those are things too, but that's not enough anymore. I mean, does that, so what? So who cares what they want? Let's just get to the core of it. Or is that the case? Like I said, I'm curious what you guys think. So if anyone wants to come on and express how they think people need to be held accountable, I'm open to hearing. And I bet everybody else would be interested in what you have to say as well. I mean, it's a very fascinating concept. Like, we don't want to get tangled up in people's karma, right? But is there a best way to communicate? Is there a best way to ask people, you know, did you do this? Are you, you know, I'm disappointed because you put yourself in this situation where I now have to think of you in this way and I don't like it. It breaks my heart to do that, right? I mean, it's about me and my experience with someone, right? Like, I thought you were my friend. So like, why are you doing this? This is something, you know, like stealing. Isn't that something that we did when we were children? I mean, I know people are still doing it. You know, stealing jewelry or something. Like, isn't that like a child thing? I mean, I get it if people don't have the balls to, like, I mean, personally, I get it that a lot of people don't have the balls to just like say, hey, Rach, you know, could you do this? Or let alone, they don't even have the wherewithal to comprehend how to just say, hey, this is like this. Can you fix this on the website? I mean, you don't have to get mad at someone or try to get even with someone just to try to fix something. But when it comes, I mean, that is kind of behavior that I'm kind of like, you know, that's easy to do. It's actually hard to go into someone's house and take something. That's a lot harder. That's a lot riskier. And so when we get to that level, I'm just like, how do we deal with that? Because if you think about it, you know, with the whole vax program and the whole slow kill program, those people are stealing from us as well. And so maybe this happened with me in my life so that I could have this conversation with you guys, so that you guys could also weigh in to figure out, how do we want to hold people accountable who have done bad things, who have stolen from us, stolen our time, our space, our air, our water, good water, right? Like, what does that conversation look like? What does it look like? Feel free to chime in, guys. Feel free to raise your hand. Come on board. I saw some of you guys did raise your hand earlier. So if you want to come back on and raise your hand, I'm ready now. Brock says, I'm not a vengeful being. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not, I don't know that it is about being vengeful. I'm not interested in vengeance. That's not what this is. Right? It's just about wanting to know, like, what needs to shift in order for that behavior to stop. That's what I'm curious about. It's like, what has to happen to make that shift? Jeremiah, hey, welcome back, buddy.
I had to unmute it. Are you there?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, I hold everybody accountable for what, you know, honesty in everybody around me, anybody I deal with. If they tell me a lie, I say, you're a liar. If they steal from me, I tell them, hey, you're stealing. I mean, I don't know. It's been working out pretty good around here.
Well, yeah, but if you know they're stealing, what if you don't, you can't prove it?
Well, I don't make accusations. I mean, you can't never accuse somebody of stealing unless you have some kind of forensics that they stole it. Because then they'll just lie to you. And then it ends up, I don't know. If I catch them stealing, you know what I mean? Then I approach them on the stealing. But if you don't catch them stealing, I don't even know how you deal with that. Because you'd have to have forensics to accuse somebody of something.
Exactly. So do you have forensics that this is what I'm talking about? Like, okay, so do you have forensics that such and such person is hurting the, you know, controlling harp? I mean, do you have forensics that such and such person is like Vivek Ramaswamy, like he's like a bad guy because, I mean, like, he supposedly ran the pharmaceutical companies, but like, so like, where, how do we, and maybe those are big, big concepts, but, and we can, I want to break it down and make them more bite size, but like, that's my question is how do we hold these folks accountable when we don't know, we don't have like the direct forensics?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's plenty of liars out here telling us lies and stuff that, you know, I mean, they're lying about to us, about the courts and everything like that. I don't know how do we hold them accountable. I'm pretty sure that, you know, Chief has a plan for that. You know what I'm saying? All I can do here is just make them tell the truth. And if they're bringing a bunch of lies, I tell them that they're lying. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how to, I wouldn't want to, I don't know. I don't know, Rachel. That's a good damn question. I'll tell you. It really is. I mean, I'd like to hold some people accountable for harming people, but then, you know, how do you do that without causing them harm? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Tereko says, I got fired for catching thieves at work. Turns out the boss was in on it, too. It was an eye-opener, to say the least. It's fascinating. That's a great sample of something like that. Nasia wants
what,
to...
Mm-hmm. I tell you one thing, Rachel, if we all, I've got a lot of people that are in my tribe now, you know what I mean? Family members and friends, and it just keeps on growing and growing and growing. And every one of them are honest and none of them steal and stuff like that. And then they're like bringing other honest people. And then, you know, I don't know. It's like snowballing now. I mean, it's growing faster than I can keep track of the people that are starting to be honest and with good volition. You know what I mean? I'm even getting a lot of them to send their claims to the live, getting their claims to the live because I point them to where, because they know I tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, I tell them, hey, listen, this guy's telling the truth right here. You guys need to look into what he's saying. And they believe that I'm telling the truth, and I tell them I have a claim to the live. Then they go ahead and they look into it and they find out that it's true. And then they get a claim to life, and it's starting to snowball. I mean, at least with my circle and my tribe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. But I think this has come up in my life to pose the question, not only for the tribe, but for what we're actually saying that we're here to do, which is to be accountable. Well, what happens when we need to pull someone else into that accountability? How do we do that? This is the question. Not it's not a problem when people are accountable. I mean, yeah, we got lots of accountable people around us. But the question is, what do we do with those that aren't? And that, I mean, do we just throw them out of the nest? Do we just let them to the dogs? Like, but that's not what I want to do. I want to comprehend how to change the volition of the thinking. And I know that it's not necessarily my responsibility or any of ours, but that's what this conversation is tonight. So thank you, Jeremiah, for tuning in. I do appreciate you. Blessings.
You have a good evening, Rachel.
Nacio, do you want to give it a shot?
Yeah, I did have an answer, but after that last part that you said, I kind of understand like where you're coming from with the what to do with them. I feel like in my like personal life, I always said like make God do the put it in God's hand, kind of, but your situation is kind of different. So, yeah, I kind of see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Nacio. I appreciate you chiming in. I do. I just had to mute you because there was feedback. If you want to say more to that, just raise your hand again. So let's take a look at the chat. And Enrique says, we begin to hold them accountable with the monetization of damage caused with the fiction fraud betting by the Postmaster's title language knowledge. Yeah, absolutely. So Enrique, are you saying it starts on contract? I mean, what do we do with our friends? Like I said, I am not going to sue my friend for not showing up to lunch, but if my friend takes something from me, where, and they're in the, and they don't have a claim of the life, how do I pull them into that accountability? Isn't that what we're, I'm not saying that we're liable for that, but I'm saying, what's your guys' take on that? How do we create that accountability? Okay, Brock. Oh, Brock, why don't you go? Hey, why don't you go? And then I got Tureko on the line.
About the accountability. One time when I was little, my papa loaned somebody $50. He used to own a store called Village Mart. He loaned somebody $50. And he turned around and looked at me and he said, Brock, I'm gonna tell you, I'm never gonna see that $50 again. But I'm never gonna have to look at that man again either. And I was like 8 or 9, so I had no idea. But in some ways, those people that need to be or not need to be held accountable, but those people that need accountability for themselves typically weed themselves out of positive people's lives through their performances. And that in and of itself is about as much accountability as one could hold outside of teaching someone that they're in the wrong and why. And most of the time, as anybody can experience, when an adult is in the wrong, they're not going to listen to someone tell them why. It's just a hard-headed factor that most of us aren't, you know, with the capacity of changing and without the express desired volition of the energy exerted in that, you know, specific area of change. And that's kind of hard for some people to see, much less apply energy toward. But I don't think we can hold other people accountable or hold them accountable. And even I'd like to ask some other people, even if you could hold someone accountable, if they need to be held accountable, are you exerting too much of your energy by doing so? I mean, because that's their will. If they don't want to be held accountable, that's kind of their karma. They're deciding to tote around. And I don't know. I could probably answer better with not as broad of a scenarios.
Sure. No, I thought you did a great job. I want to thank you for tuning in with that much focus on it. I think there's some truth to that. I want to hear what, thanks, Brock.
Thank you. Y'all have a good night.
I want to hear Tureko.
Hola. Hello. How is everybody doing?
Hola.
Cool. Can you hear me then? Nice.
Roger that.
Cool. So my take is like this. So let's say, like Chief said once, if he sees a guy like Fauci on the street, I mean, a guy like Chief is going to take that guy down, like on the spot. But if I see Fauci, I don't know if I'm authorized to take him down, right? On that level. Now, when you're saying people like your friends don't have a claim of life, they're really not doing something as nefarious as Fauci is doing, and they like do you dirty or something like that. So in that situation, I guess at the moment, the best we can do is just, you know, like stay away from that person and tune out whatever thing they did to us and not dwell on it so that we don't feed that bad energy.
So for I concur, first of all, yes, I love the Fauci one. And I said to Chief Tez, like, how are you, got to make sure it's the right guy. Like, what if it's a clone or something? You're going to beat up the clone. Yeah. So there is that. But I think in my case, in my particular case, I have a little bit different way of vibing whether or not someone did something. Okay. There were clues. They went into a certain area of my house. I found something in the backyard. I mean, there's things, right? And so I don't have the exact forensics of them doing it. I just have all of these things that I've pieced together over time. Okay. And that is where I don't want to overstep my boundary. But then again, like you guys said out there, I don't want to also necessarily have this person back in my house. But yeah. Is that something that I sit there and I have an open conversation with them about? Are they going to want to come to Jesus moment if I do? And how do I do that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if you could. For example, I got another example. Like over 20 years ago, I had this good friend and he used to come over a lot. And my sister at that time, she had a boyfriend that liked fancy stuff. So he bought like these fancy sunglasses and he left them on the dinner table at my house. And my friend came over, and when he left, I saw the sunglasses on the dinner table and I asked my friend if the sunglasses were his. It's like, oh yeah, thank you for reminding me. And he took them. And to this day, he still denies that he stole the sunglasses. So. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So to this day, he still denies that he took the sunglasses, though I saw him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's, that guy wasn't ready to be accountable. But do you think, let's just say this happened now, is there a way to conversate, to communicate? Because isn't that what we're here to do with someone about what your experience was? Not about them so much, but about your experience, and say that made me really uncomfortable when I witnessed that.
Oh yeah, when I realized what happened, yeah, it's like a complete disappointment in people that
And so my take on this is not so much about pointing out what they did, because I don't know, but so much so as what I did witness, the forensic that I do have, and how that has now put me in a position to be to have to draw some boundaries. Because they did something that I specifically said not to do in my house, go into a certain area, and they did it anyway. And I witnessed that and I didn't say anything, but I let it go. And then I found the little cookie trails afterward. Then now doesn't that warrant me to at least express the disappointment of my experience? That's the most I can do.
Oh yeah, for sure. You gotta let them know, like Jeremiah said before, like when you see them do it, you call them out on it, but then you gotta let it go and you kind of dwell on it. And also when you do it, you gotta do it in a way that you don't get infected with a bad vibe either.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Jeremiah, did you want to chime in?
Yeah.
And then Australia.
Couple things real quick. I had this in a chat on one of Ritter's first things about, because they wanted to be like calling people in and stuff like that. And my thing is we'd have to have some pure-hearted judges, you know what I'm saying, in place to be able to haul these people too. Because, I mean, I know I'm not qualified to judge anybody, but I wouldn't mind taking them to see a qualified judge, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think in Chief's world, there is a place for him judging certain characters, and there's also a place for us doing that because we have our own court systems within our market trade ports, and we got to get good at that. So that's kind of why I wanted to pose this question, because it's like, if we're going to have our own systems, we better get pretty darn clear at what qualifies us to be making such judgments, if you will. And again, like I said, this is going to be great call with the chief on the patron call when we get into this nitty gritty stuff. But if he will. But Estelita, did you want to chime in?
Hi, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. My take on this is that we have to look at it at different angle. Even when I was young, there was this conversation with my mom similar to this. And he said, what do you say about people? Because we're talking about balance. What do you say about people that do bad things? And I said, these people who do bad things to hurt someone else, just like you're talking about Fauci, they are sick people. Because there is no human being that have a balanced volition who would do bad things to another man. I have that feeling even as a young person. And you know, I've studied all this walking, like the teaching of the yin and yang, which is the balance thing. And I realize it is true, because we can be unbalanced physiologically, meaning our physical body, and that affects our mind. And there are also people that are raised to be bad. So their thinking is not balanced. They are sick. That is so true. So what do we do with them? We cannot really, from a big picture, I would see as a collective, is not to do what they're doing, but put them in a situation where they can heal. You know, just like all these people are being put in prison. But the reality is, if you look at these people, they are very sick in the mind. They could have had traumas as a child. And that's what made them who they are, to survive. And also people doing bad things, they're operating from a lower energy center. Because this is one thing we were not taught, is we're energy being. What does it mean? We're electrical being. Every part of our body have that energetic center that help operate the whole system. So my whole take is that, yes, they are bad people, and they have, how do we make them accountable? If they're going to harm someone else and there's no other choice, then we have to do something to stop them from doing another, you know, from harming another human being.
Yeah. Yes, that's where Chief toes the line with what he has to do between good and bad, and taking a step to do what many of us don't want to have to do. And he has come to that conclusion that is what he's willing to do. And that is take accountability for those bad actors who are, like you said, just not well in the head, and make the choices for them. Yeah. Yeah. There are those, but
We don't want to hurt them, but if we have to, we have to. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. Because it's a defense. You are
You
do the best you can not to kill them. But yeah. If there's no other choice, you know, even if you kill them with love.
Right. That's why I was going to say, I really like what Babby said. So your response at that hurt might teach whom you hurt what is love. And then there's another one from Marty, or I think it's from Marty. It says, I thought it was from Marty up above, but maybe it was Maria. Hang on, let me just scroll up here. But yes, I feel that the tough love kind of thing is where some of us are going to have to do the tough love, but in loving tough, others of us are going to actually show the love.
That's right. So it's a tough question, but there's two things could happen to it. And on another aspect as well, you talk about your friend, right? That did not think that. I have somehow similar situation. A friend from, you know, in the college, she's highly intelligent. And for some reason, it's not for some reason, she didn't follow her gut feel. And she got the box. And when I spoke to her, but because I haven't met her for a long time, she's overseas. And I learned a lot from this as well. I'm talking about there are people that has been trauma. So when she realized what she done and she didn't follow her own gut feel, and because I care so much and I think I've given so much information that in the end I realized, I said, I should have shut up because I realized she was traumatized by it. Mm-hmm. And so many people that have done bad things, they're so traumatized by it that they become fearful to say anything. And this is where shame and guilt comes in. They become shameful of what they've done because they didn't do the right thing to protect themselves. So this is when I learned something from that, to be empathic and really observe. Because by observing their behavior, we can learn a lot from it. It's not that they're not getting it. They are so traumatized underneath, or bad experience in the surroundings, that they have no courage to stand up for themselves. So this is quite we can come from different angle. But again, like I'm saying, we have the best thing, I guess, is to become an example ourselves, which is tough because we were trained differently. You know, we live like a tribe. As mammal, we live together and we try to protect each other.
Estelita, that's very sound words. Thank you for your feedback. Appreciate that very much.
Thank you so much as well for letting me share.
Absolutely. Marty says to show them that they have purpose and that your actions affect you benefits them in the now. So I appreciate that as well, Marty. And Estelita, did you want to say something else? Sorry. I really liked how you said that about letting them see that they're worth something, so to speak. Is that paraphrasing too much? Let's also hear from Marty herself. Marty, you're unmuted. If you unmute, you can.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Oh, Marty. Marty's the bro. Yo, hey.
This is okay.
I had this vision. Marta.
I'm going to speak on a term of, I guess, of what I would like to see the future like, because right now I feel like it's hard for everyone to find purpose in life in general in so many ways. And I feel like society has created everyone to fall short. And when we talk about correcting, you know, because correction comes in so many forms, from killing someone to you know, simply a mistake. But I feel like most problems and most bad things are created from society and everyone living in a fictitious world. And I guess that's why the now space hits me more, because I kind of understand what the scenario of living in the now space is, and how it could affect everyone, is if they would just live their life as how things affect me right now in this moment. And, you know, and back in the days when someone, from what I was told and what I've read in the books and stuff, you know, in communities, when you had a problem, they would get together and speak about it and come up with a solution, whether if it's kick them out the community for a week or for a month or kick them out permanently. But there was never a law, or I don't mean to call it, or a law or anything like that, that was implemented, something that would follow them to the day they died with a record and things like. So in my opinion, it's so many things to add on to accountability, but how far do we want that accountability to go to the damages that they've done? And I feel like once we all can be accountable for our actions and it actually takes money out of our pocket, or it takes something from us, and just, we, you know, as right now, you can actually commit crimes and do things, but if you have the right lawyer or have the right amount of money or so forth, you don't have to stay with your accountabilities. In other words, you don't have to worry about them, if that makes sense. That's just my opinion.
I've spoken about that before, about communities and how the tribe or what have you will oust somebody or kind of push them out of the nest or push them into kind of exile for, it could be temporarily, but yeah, it was done for them to learn the lesson. And I've actually witnessed that myself. I've seen it done in community, and it's a fascinating thing. And that person that did leave was okay with it, because they were like, oh, they had to go deal with some stuff themselves. And so, but one of the other interesting things that happened with this situation is I did go to the person who I know had some trouble, that I put it together, and I was like, oh, you had some trouble with this person and you didn't tell me, like, you didn't even mention it. You didn't even give me a clue. I had no idea. And I was like, would you go and talk with this person with me? Like, could we together, very lovingly, as like sisters, like go and talk? And I feel like, you know, this person didn't tell me. Now I'm asking her to go do something. It's like I'm getting the whole tribe started. It's like, where's the freaking tribe, yo? Why aren't people, what's going on? Is that everybody's been asleep? Nobody's got any freaking balls. And it doesn't, you're right, guys, in the chat. I see it. It can be lovingly. Yeah. We're sisters here. Let's talk about this. we don't have to accuse. We can just say, look, this is our experience. This is what you're putting out. This is, we're two people who loved you. And this is, we've come to these conclusions. We don't want to think this way. What gives? And we don't ever have to accuse. It's just a conversation. And this is where the communications and the dialogues need to start opening. I think this is the beginning of accountability, but I'm often faced with people who are two-faced and chicken. They can't even speak up for themselves, let alone go do something when somebody else asks them to help. What kind of world is that? I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me to go do that for them, but I would. So that's just me. And I know it, you know, that's a level of, we have to be fearless. And what is fearless to you? Are you afraid you're going to get in trouble? And now there is the correct way to do these things. Let's be clear. I want to be very, very clear with this, because you hear all the time the truth are saying, go do something. I heard it on a podcast just the other day where it was like, go stand up, go join an organization, go do this or that. And I'm like, but be careful. Be careful what convoy you're joining, because these folks, the difference is, I'm talking about a friend with something and it's localized. They're talking about doing something for the quote unquote United States of America that doesn't exist. They're talking about doing something for the courts that doesn't exist. They're talking about doing something for the laws and legislations that aren't there, that aren't going to protect them. And so in there, they are mistaken that is the right path. And so I think I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys know, but some of you guys don't. And this needs to be, yes, Babby, it is a harvesting machine's trick. And we need to be very, very clear here that I'm not saying go out and make a fuss. You know, I wasn't at January 6th. I wasn't at the Capitol because I already knew it was a fraud. So why would I go try to fight the fraud in that way? When people thought that they were going to actually change it, it's already been changed. It doesn't exist. So that's step one. Step one is those of us that are here that actually have our cargo of thinking on right and our volition set straight. Once that's done, now we can start helping in our local communities one by one, friend by friend. I hate to think of it, but it's kind of like this is the person that I'm talking about. You know, it's like, yeah, you can come over this summer for the barbecue, but you're gonna have to stay outside and you can't come in the house. You know, is it really got to be like that? Because you're still my friend, I still love you, but you're put on probation, kind of thing. You know, it's kind of, that's the tough love part. I don't know. I mean, I haven't figured it out yet. I don't know. But what I'm saying is you guys, we've got to be cautious here. Don't go out and I don't want you guys are to tell your friends like, yeah, go join a truck convoy. No, that's, you guys are fighting for the wrong cause in that case, because I'm just talking about fighting for your friends and family, first and foremost, getting your community stronger. And of course, like we said and pointed out, you know, there's some bad actors who are just not well, and let the military folks who with claims of the life take care of those guys. You know, Chief can work on those guys, but for the rest of us, that's not my bag. Okay, one more from Lori here, and let Lori chime in. Welcome.
Hello.
Well,
I like, you know, trust is earned, right? And if somebody's done something wrong to you, I feel like, you know, for me, I'll just tell them the truth of, you know, what I think, and then tell them, you know, I'm sorry, but trust is earned. It's earned by me and everyone else out there. And as far as the DC area, you guys, I would have been nowhere near that 10 mile radius.
Yeah, well, that is a gut feeling. But yeah, I guess, you know, I got to keep reminding you guys, that's if you know, if you are 100% sure that you know that someone took something, like Tareko said, I witnessed the guy taking the sunglasses and then denying it later. That's number one. But if I just have little pieces of the pie, I have to figure out how to gracefully put this back at that person, not because it's on them, but because it's on me. Because I feel uncomfortable with their choice to disregard my request in my own house. And now I've put them on the chopping block and they're part of the suspects. And that has made me uncomfortable. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Because that made me now have to question you, and I don't want to do that. Do I have anything to question? You know, that's the obviously, I have to figure out how to say that a little softer, but I mean, that's kind of the take I'm looking at. Because I was put in a position where I put out my preferences, they weren't respected. And because they weren't respected, because that respect wasn't there, that's what I'm upset about. You didn't, and I feel like a parent, like, you didn't do what I said. Well, okay, well, that did have consequences. And sorry, but yeah, I would have never done that at someone else's house who specifically told me not to do something in their house. I would have never done it. And I would have never undone what they had asked. And so because that this person did that, because they did that, they put themselves in a position to where now I have to question the other things. And that is what I don't like. I'm not going to worry about what was actually taken, but it is that they put themselves in that position. And that's, to me, upsetting and honest. I mean, it's just, sorry, like, you put yourself in that position and you put me in that position, and that sucks. And that's what I want to say. That's all I want to say. It's my piece. And if they change, they change. And if they don't, they don't. And if they confess, they confess. And if they didn't do it, then I'm still mad at them for putting me in that position. So anyway, that's my take on it, guys. That's my take on starting with accountability. Yeah, honoring boundaries and listening to who is, you know, what your friends' boundaries are, what your friends are, what their quests are. And if they don't have any, sometimes we get to navigate through that and find out later. But better later with our friends than without them. That's how I see it. I don't know if this one is salvageable, but I do pray that everything will work out, and not only work out, but I pray that it will at least have opened up a dialogue within this community, within this venue, or within your worlds that you can take away on this night and ponder a little bit. Because even though we all seem to have great people in our now space, there's the possibility that one day we might not. And to be prepared with what to do is never a bad thing. So with all that said, thank you guys so much for your participation, your comments. Check us out on Podbean and the RSS feed into iHeartRadio and Spotify, among other channels, for the Postmasters Portal. This has been a wonderful show tonight. Thank you guys so much. Postmasters Basic on Telegram channel, live on Friday nights. Peace out.